Hi, friends. Welcome to Sips of Sunshine, the podcast hosted by Amy Ogden. Sips of Sunshine is a place to share inspiration, positivity, and fresh ways of thinking. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's episode, please share this sip of sunshine with someone you love. And now, on to today's podcast.
Listening in. This is Amy and welcome to the Sips of Sunshine podcast. I am like on another level and so excited to talk to you today because I've been wanting to record this podcast for 2 weeks, which is when I got back from an incredible experience in the mountains of Canada. But for the past 2 weeks, I came back and I immediately dove right back into work and some work travel and then just a busy week of work. And I usually record at night after work, but my nights this week were full of dinners with friends and workouts and dates, and it was just a good week. So no recording happened, but here we are. It's Friday afternoon. My company, J Public Relations, we do summer Fridays, which So when I had my career started in Florida, never heard of a summer Friday, no idea what it was. Then I moved to California working for JPR in the San Diego office. And they're like, yeah, and then every Friday between Memorial weekend and Labor Day weekend, it's summer Friday. And, you know, you can probably hear a siren out there. And we close up a little bit early. And, you know, that way if you have a flight to catch or you're taking a train to the Hamptons or whatever, you know, or it's just a beautiful Friday and you want to go enjoy a couple hours in the sunshine, you can. So anyway, I love summer Fridays. I need to be better about really taking advantage of them. I feel like I tend to use them to do things like run errands or deal with medical bills or something not nearly as fun as laying in a park reading a book. But anyway, so it's a beautiful summer Friday here in New York, and I'm so happy to be talking to you. So get your pencil out. This is going to be, I hope, a podcast that you maybe listen to twice because I'm going to say a lot. I know that I talk fast sometimes, but I'm going to say a lot, and I'm hopefully going to give you some information, even if you get a little bit of what I learned while I was in Canada. It's going to be awesome. So let me set this up for you. A few weeks ago, I flew to Spokane, Washington, which is on the east coast of Washington State, and took a bus, like a chartered bus, up to a hiking and fitness retreat in the mountains of British Columbia called Mountain Trek. This podcast is in no way like an ad for Mountain Trek. It's going to totally sound like one, but I have nothing in this other than just really wanting to share what I got to experience with you guys. In no way am I speaking for Mountain Trek. Also, everything I tell you is like my interpretation. So this is not exactly by the book. It's everything that I took away and am implementing in my life that I learned at Mountain Trek. So this is just my personal account. But I am so stoked to talk to you about this. Okay, so Mountain Trek it's up in the mountains of British Columbia in this little town called Ainsworth. Super cute, super, super cute town. It's got like hot springs, but it's really small, really beautiful. So anyway, that's the best way to get there is you fly into Spokane, and they bus you up. Like there's an organized bus because groups go each week. It's not like you just go as a one-off. Like it's like this group gets in on Saturday and then they leave the following Saturday, you know. And so Mountain Trek's goal is to kind of help people like by kickstarting some really amazing habits and practices, but also teach you. So it's not like a typical fitness and weight loss and wellness retreat where you might just go do the thing for a week, but then it's like, okay, now back to real life. Their goal really is to have you do this for a week so that you can see that you can do it, but then teach you along the way. So I'll give you kind of an example of what a basic like structure of a day looked like. And every day was pretty much this structure, and it was 6 straight days of this. So we checked in on Saturday, and that was just, you know, all the hellos and dinner, and we all went to bed. We'd all had a really long day of travel and stuff. So for the next 6 days, here's how it worked. They would wake you up at 6 a.m. And I'm an early riser, so that was fine with me. Loved it. And they just do that by gently knocking on your door and saying good morning. There's no alarm clocks or anything like that. We would all gather, get dressed, and gather for a morning, a little mini, like a smoothie. And I'm going to tell you all about the food later, so we'll get to that because there's a whole thing on the food. Then we would go to an hour of yoga. And the yoga was awesome. It was more like restorative and really a nice yoga practice. Not the kind you might think of like a hot, sweaty, you know, power vinyasa. It was more of a restorative yoga. Do that for an hour. Then we would come back inside. We'd all have an amazing breakfast together. Then we would have a class. And the class was usually about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. And each day had a topic. So the topics would be things like fitness, nutrition, metabolism and hormones, stress, things like that. And I can't even begin to tell you guys how much I learned. And it's crazy, right? Because like, if you're listening to this, you're probably a lot like me where you follow a lot of websites and newsletters and blogs and you listen to podcasts and you read magazines that have all the articles about all the things. But I don't know, as much as I'm an absorber of information and I love that kind of stuff, putting it into practice in my life rarely happened. So like, yeah, I would read the article about 10 ways to boost your metabolism, but then I would like never do one of them, right? So sitting in these seminars and really talking about and learning about these things, but then also spending a week doing it, which I'll get back to, really, really like nailed it down for me. So you do the seminar and you learn all this awesome stuff, and I'm going to share some of the highlights with you. Then you pack up and you go out into the mountains. We would drive. Some of the drives were really short. Some of them were longer. We even took a ferry one day to a certain part. And we would hike for like 3 to 4 hours. And this was like a no joke hike. Like this wasn't like a leisurely stroll and like stopping to smell flowers. This was uphill hard hiking. And I'm not a hiker. I actually kind of joke about how like little of a hiker I am. Like it's really not my thing. And after 6 days of it, okay, I didn't love it at the end, but I liked it more than I did at the beginning. And I have a feeling that if I kept on doing it, I would like it more and more. But man, it was a phenomenal workout. So we'd hike all day and then we'd come back and we would be exhausted. I mean, you have to remember now, this is like 6 a.m. we woke up. Usually we would get back from the hike around 4:34. And I mean, we've been yoga and car rides and then hiking. And I mean, it's like a lot. And you're not just like hiking. I mean, you've got a backpack on that's filled with water and your lunch and your raincoat and all your stuff. And like, it's hard. So you're exhausted. So then usually we'd have maybe an hour to take a shower. And then we would have dinner. Dinner was at 5:15, which made me really happy because I'm just an early human. I like to wake up early. I like to eat my meals early. I like to go to bed early. Like, I feel like for most other people, especially in New York, everything they do is like 2 to 3 hours after my preferred time. But I love just early bird gets the worm. So I like early. So we would have dinner and then, and this is like, oh my God, we would go back to the gym and do a workout class. Like one night it was a kickboxing class. Another time it was cross training, high intensity interval training, weight training. I mean, you guys, like, oh my God, but it was great. And we all were able to do it, which was amazing. I think there's something about like that team, you know, camaraderie energy too. And then that would be over by 7. And then the rest of the night would be spent, when you do a week there, you get 3 massages. So pretty much one every other night. So you would have an hour massage and the massages were amazing. So you might have an hour massage, or they would always take people to the hot springs, which were just down the road, which were super cool and really therapeutic, the mineral hot springs. Or you could jump into the hot tub. There's a cold plunge, sauna, steam room. You could sit around the campfire. I mean, it was really, really amazing. So I had this phenomenal week, and I'll start. I don't even know like how to wrap my mind around it. So that was like what a normal day was like. And we did it for 6 days in a row. So when I checked in, they weighed us and they would weigh, you know, your weight, your blood pressure, and then also your body fat percentage. So for a woman, a healthy body fat percentage range is going to be 25 to 30%. So if you have your body fat tested, and you can do that. A lot of gyms have those scales, the fancy scales that can tell you what your body fat is. My gym has one. So if you're not sure, just go to your gym and say, hey, do you have one of those scales that tells you what your body fat is? The trainers usually have them, and they'll just let you step on it and tell you what the number is. At least mine does, I should say. Equinox does. So if you're an Equinox member, you can do that. So when I checked in, I was 156 pounds and 32% body fat. So a little heavier than I would like to be. But I'm not big on weight. I'm more on like, what does my body look like and feel like, but a little, you know, a little more than I want to be as far as what my body looks like and feels like. And then, 32%. So a couple percentage points over the ideal range. And at the end of the week, spoiler alert, I'll tell you, I lost 5 pounds. 3 pounds of that was pure fat. And I'm talking about stored fat. And we're going to talk about stored fat later. But stored fat. So like the kind of fat you see and now it's gone. And I lost 1% body fat. So I'm down to 31%. So that was amazing. And of course, that's not a normal week for anyone. That's a week of 6 hours a day of working out. And also, they completely managed every bite of food we ate. So it was like the healthiest, you know, best. And they had the women on 1,200 calories a day. I know when I say that, you're like, well, yeah, you starved and worked out. I did not starve, you guys. Like, if anything, there were a couple meals where I was like, I'm full. And it was because they paced them out and they portioned them and they had just the right mix of fats, carbs, and proteins that it just kept me perfectly satiated, never stuffed, but never starving. So, and we're going to talk about that too. So in summary, just like, so high level, it's called Mountain Trek. You can go to mountaintrek.com and learn a little bit more about it, but it's this week-long immersive hiking-based wellness, fitness, and weight loss retreat. That's the best way to describe it, I guess, because it's all of those things. It's not just about weight loss, but it's not just about hiking, and it's not just about wellness. Like, it all kind of goes together. So what I want to do today is tell you what I learned, and I'm already doing it. So I've been home for 2 weeks, and I'm blown away by how I've been able to fold this stuff right into my life. It's actually really, really exciting because I was nervous. In fact, if anyone's listening who was at Mountain Trek with me, because I'm friends now with several of the people who were there, they were probably so tired of hearing me say, well, yeah, but in New York. But it was true. You know, I'm at Mountain Trek with people who like live in Portland, are retired, and have a kitchen. Like, I don't have a really functional kitchen. I'm definitely not retired, and I don't live in Portland. So a lot of what I kept coming back to when we were at Mountain Trek was like, well, yeah, in a perfect world, you would make all these recipes, but I can't. Or in a perfect world, you would eat this thing right when you wake up, but I don't have a kitchen to prepare all these things. So, and I do have a kitchen, you guys. I sound so weird, but it's like, just trust me when I tell you, if you've seen a New York apartment kitchen, like they're not good for like, it's not a chef's kitchen. I don't have a lot of counter space. I don't have a lot of storage space. Like, it's just minimally functional. Like, I can make eggs and I can keep a couple of cupboards of basic items. But I mean, truly, like, no one's making a 4-course dinner in this kitchen. So anyway, I was nervous coming back to New York thinking, how am I going to implement all of these food and fitness things into my like kind of unique life here? But I've done it for 2 weeks, and that included 3 days of travel to LA. And I'm so proud of how I've done. I can tell I'm losing more weight. But even more than that, because this isn't about weight loss. I mean, it is at the beginning because I do want to lose a few pounds. But once I get to a point I'm feeling really comfortable and confident, I just want to just feel good. And I feel the best I've felt in a long time. So we're going to start first with the diet, because I know that's what everyone's like, yeah, yeah, tell me what to eat. So let's talk about food. So A couple of things. What I'm about to take you through, again, not the most perfect mountain trek plan, but my interpretation of the mountain trek plan, and it's, I think it's pretty accurate. And this is kind of a weight loss plan. So this is for the person, the woman, and I'm speaking for women on most of this, but men, just add a few hundred calories. You'll be fine. This is for the woman who maybe wants to lose, you know, about like a pound a week on the optimistic side. What they told us at the end of this is they said, if you do this and you're really dedicated, you'll lose about 20 pounds in about 25 to 30 weeks, because life is not perfect. You're going to have vacations and birthday parties and unexpected pizza nights. And they're like, live your life. And I loved that so much. This was not some like better than thou, here's what you should eat and never eat this kind of place. This was like, here's everything you should know about what it means to your body, about how you work out and what you eat. And please live your life and don't be weird about it. Like, don't be that friend that no one can go out with because they never know how to order. Or don't be that person who is so difficult to go grocery shopping with that you could never just have her over for like a piece of pizza and a glass of wine. Totally. So what I'm telling you is kind of like in the perfect world scenario. And what I would say is if you can do this like 80% of the time, you're on track. 80% of the time is totally on track. So this is the weight loss kind of plan. And it's definitely most important that you don't just focus on the pounds, but on your body composition. And when I say body composition, that's that percentage of fat. So a good way to start would be to go to your gym and or wherever, you can buy these. I forget what they're called, but if you just Google like fat percentage scale, it'll come up in Amazon or whatever. But they sell them for like less than $100, you guys. Like, it's, you could buy one and just have it at home. You just don't want to get obsessed with weighing yourself and stuff, because you know how that kind of stuff can fluctuate. But women, you want to be about 25 to 30% body fat. And for everyone, it's best to consume about 2/3 of your day's calories in the first 9 hours that you're awake. So if you think about that, if you wake up at 7, then you would consume 2/3 of your calories by 4 p.m. In other words, don't eat half of your day's calories at dinner. Or even, you know, some people, they're like, I'm not really hungry for breakfast. I have a cup of coffee. Then I kind of have a salad for lunch. And then I eat a crazy dinner. And it's like, oh my God, it really does matter. It's not just a matter of calories in and calories out in 24 hours. The pace and the frequency that you feed yourself matters. Your body responds to it in certain ways. If you feed your body in that way of like starvation, crazy town gorging, your body will go into a bit of a hoarding mode, and it will it'll be like, oh man, food is really unexpected and unpredictable. I better hold on to everything she feeds me. But if you feed yourself regularly and in really like, and I'll tell you exactly what to eat, and in kind of these like every few hours, your body's like, oh man, we're good. I can burn these calories. There's more to come. So kind of think of it like that. Okay, so here, let's talk about food. You're going to eat six, again, this is perfect world, you guys. So like if you did this 5 out of 7 days a week, you are winning and batting, what is that? Batting 1,000? Batting 100? I don't know what you bat. I know nothing about sports, but here's how you're going to do this. Okay, so you're going to eat 6 times a day. And this is like every few hours from when you wake up until dinner. You're not going to eat after dinner. And if possible, try to keep your dinner on the little bit of the earlier side. And there's a reason for this, which I'll tell you in a second. And when I say earlier, you choose your earlier, guys. If you normally eat at 10, 8 would be earlier for you. If you normally eat at 7, maybe 6 is earlier for you. Like, you don't have to go crazy, but just like look at the time you eat and just be like, is this realistic? All right, here we go. Ready? I'm just going to assume that you wake up between 6 and 6:30 for the sake of this like timing and stuff. Most important thing I'm going to tell you is what I'm going to tell you right now. If you do one thing diet-wise, I'm going to ask you to do this. And I know what you're going to say when I tell you, because everyone I've told has said the same thing, which is, but I can't do that. I'm not hungry first thing in the morning. I don't care if you're not hungry first thing in the morning, because there's a science behind this. So what I will say is this, do it for 2 weeks and just tell me if you just absolutely can't stomach it, but I think you can. I can, and I was never hungry first thing in the morning, and I'm still not, but okay, let me just tell you. I call this your morning wake-up bite because I don't know what else to call it. It's not breakfast. You have to eat something within 30 minutes of waking up. I'm going to say this again. You have to eat something within 30 minutes of waking up. This is so important, and here's why. It kind of comes back to what I said earlier. So your body comes from years and years of conditioning and history through the ages where we were at war and we had to hunt and forage for our food. And we, you know, things were scarce, right? And so your body has hundreds and thousands of years of that conditioning. Your body doesn't know that Brugger's Bagels is always around the corner and open at 5 a.m. And your body doesn't know that Starbucks has breakfast now. And like, so your body, when you wake up, your body's natural instinct is to think, okay, she's awake. Today's going to be hard. She's a hunter and gatherer. There's no telling if she's going to get food or not. So let's see how today goes. And then if you wait too long, your body goes, oh, not a good day. Not a good day. There's no food. So when she feeds me, I better hang on to those calories. I'm going to need to store them. And that's fat. But if you feed your body right when you wake up, and I'll tell you what to eat. If you feed your body right when you wake up, your body goes, oh, it's a good day. Food is available. She's good. I don't need to hoard and hang on to what she feeds me. So it burns through the calories. Just eating a little bit within the first 30 minutes of waking up, and that's what's important is 30 minutes, increases your metabolism, you guys. You ready? By 15 to 20%. Your metabolism, if you're not clear on what that is the thing in your body that makes your body an efficient calorie burning machine. That's why a lot of people who are really thin, they'll just be like, I just have a high metabolism. God bless them. I'm not one of those people. My metabolism is what I would call super normal, like not high, not low. But people with high metabolism, their body metabolizes food very efficiently. So if they eat something, their body's like takes the nutrients it needs, spits out the rest. Just kind of think of it that way. Not a doctor, totally making up all this terminology. I could be like 80% wrong on how I just described metabolism. But in general, let's just think of it as like how efficiently your body moves food through your system and like uses the energy and gets rid of the garbage. Cool? So the morning wake up, you got to eat within 30 minutes of waking, which means either a little bit of food prep or a few handy items. So when we were at Mountain Trek, what we had was a 4-ounce smoothie. It had some protein in it. So you need to have some protein in this morning wake up. That's very important. That could be a little bit of Greek yogurt. That could be some peanut butter. That could be a handful of almonds. That could be almond milk in a smoothie or something. So it's got a little protein. And it doesn't have to be a lot, you guys. So like what I've been doing, because I have a tree nut allergy, but I can have coconut and I can have peanuts. But other than that, and peanuts aren't actually a nut. They're a legume. They're like a bean. But I have a tree nut allergy. So all y'all who like freak out about almond milk, good for you. Never had an almond. Never had almond milk. It really just kind of blows. There's a lot of stuff I can't eat now because it's so trendy. So when you wake up, you're going to eat something right away. And it doesn't have to be a ton. So what I'm doing is I'm making overnight oats. And I just learned from my friend Allie. Thank you, Allie. You can actually make a few servings of overnight oats. It'll keep for like 3 or 4 days in your fridge. I had no idea. So I was making them fresh every day for the next day because they soak overnight and they absorb all the liquids. And Allie's like, no, you could just do like 3 or 4 at a time. And I was like, genius. So now I just like last night I made 3 servings of it. That'll get me through the next 3 days. So it'll get me like to the weekend or to Monday. So what I do is I do a little bit of oats. I put a little chia seed in it. I do coconut milk. I do a generous spoonful of Greek yogurt. That's my protein. Mix it up. It sits in the fridge overnight and becomes this nice kind of like a cold porridge. In the morning, I throw some fresh blueberries on it, a little drizzle of honey, stir it up and eat that. So going back to why you eat dinner early, because if you eat your dinner earlier, you are a little hungry when you wake up and you want that morning bite. So that's why it's also good. On top of other reasons, it's good to eat your dinner earlier. So you're going to have your little morning bite. Then you're going to go to the gym or get ready for work or whatever. And then a few hours later, you're going to have breakfast. Breakfast, you want to have ideally a little bit of a whole grain, a little bit of a fruit or vegetable, and some protein, and a little bit of a healthy fat. So like a perfect breakfast for me would be a small serving of steel cut oats with some blueberries. I might just mix some healthy fat oils right into the oats, get my oils that way, get those healthy fats, and a hard-boiled egg, done. And that's something I can have at work. We keep hard-boiled eggs at our office, which makes me super happy because I think it's just such a healthy, smart snack to have. And my company is really cool. Like, if you're listening to this and you run a company, please look at your snack selection. Like, we have things like apples and vegetables and hummus and hard-boiled eggs and I'm trying to think what else, like avocado and things like that. But we really stock our fridge with actually like brain food rather than just pure, you know, junk food kind of stuff. And I think it really makes a difference. So that's your breakfast. Your breakfast is going to have some whole grains. It's going to have either a fruit or vegetable, a little bit of a healthy fat. And that healthy fat, that could be, I'm trying to think of what else. So I use, just if you guys want to know, this is like a plug for it, but it's by Bulletproof and it's called Brain Octane Oil. So you can look that up. I use Bulletproof's Brain Octane Oil and I drizzle a little bit of that in my oatmeal. You don't even taste it. Gives you all that. You can also, I think, put it in your coffee. It's kind of like how Bulletproof coffee was started. And an egg. Then you're going to have your morning snack. So your morning snack is going to be a fruit and a protein. So an apple and a piece of cheese or an orange and a handful of nuts. Like, don't overthink it. A fruit and a protein. Then your lunch and your dinner are going to be composed the same way. Think of your plate as a round plate. A quarter of your plate is protein. The other three quarters is vegetables. So your lunch might be a salad with salmon on it, or your dinner might be roasted chicken with a big selection of roasted vegetables. So that's it, you guys. Like, this is really simple. It also makes it easy, by the way. Now when I go to the grocery store, it's crazy. When I used to go to the grocery store, I was just like, I mean, I'm not meal planning. I don't make like recipes. So I just go in and like, I don't know what looks good. But now it's so easy because when I go into the grocery store, I'm like, well, you're buying three things: proteins, vegetables, and fruit. That's it. So because so much of my diet is based on proteins, vegetables, and fruit, it just makes it so easy to buy what I need at the grocery store. So you've had your morning wake up. Oh, sorry, the morning wake up. I told you what I have, but you guys, don't overthink your morning wake up. Just do something. Make sure it has some protein in it. But other than that, do something. Have half a banana and a scoop of peanut butter. Trying to think of what else could be, you know, have half an apple and a few almonds. Like, I just don't overthink the morning wake up. Make sure it has protein. Make sure it's got like a fruit or vegetable, or, you know, if you can make a smoothie and portion it out for three mornings, that's really smart. Because again, it's not like a meal or a whole smoothie. It's like 4 ounces of one. I was in a pinch the other day. And I just took three huge swigs of a Vega protein shake out of the bottle. Like, better than nothing. We would prefer you eat real food, but if you're not, like, just something. Get something in your body because that's going to trigger your metabolism. So then you've done your morning wake-up bite. You've had your breakfast of whole grains, fruit or vegetable, a little bit of oil, and a protein. Morning snack, a fruit and protein. Your lunch is maybe going to be like a big salad with salmon or something. It's basically a quarter protein, three quarters vegetables. Oh, a little bit of oil on that too. So if you do your salad, maybe like a drizzle of olive oil or something like that. Your afternoon snack is going to be a vegetable and a protein. So that's going to be veggies and hummus. That's going to be, you know, veggies and maybe like a little bit of like a nut butter or something, whatever works for you. That could be some veggies and cheese if you did like peanut butter in the morning or something. Again, don't overthink it. Just a veggie and a protein. And these snacks aren't huge, but that protein is what's going to really make you feel good and full. And then, like I said, your dinner mimics your lunch. A quarter protein, three quarters vegetables. So I'm hoping that gives you some ideas. Ezekiel bread is something else that's good. So for that morning wake up, maybe you do a slice of Ezekiel bread with some peanut butter and a little banana on it or something like that. There's just so much you guys can do here. And so that's the model for the diet. Now, it's not over because you're like, wait a minute, all I've had is vegetables, proteins, and fruit. I need more variety in my life. I'm about to die of boredom from my own diet, and I get it. First of all, before I say that, I heard a quote on one of my podcasts that I listened to that truly was like, open my eyes, like stopped me in my tracks while I was walking. And the guy said, boring diet, exciting life. And he said, usually the more boring your diet is, the more exciting your life is because you look and feel healthy and energetic. So anyway, this diet might sound a little boring, but it's not. I've done it for 3 weeks now and I'm not bored. But of course, like I said, 80-20. So here's the 20 that you can weave in and still be totally on track. 4 meals a week. You can choose which ones they are. You can add in a carb or a sweet. So that could be a brownie with lunch or some pasta with dinner or whatever. And what you're going to do when you have those meals that you add a carb or a sweet, that's 4 meals a week total, you are going to make it a quarter protein, half vegetables, a quarter carb when you're thinking about like what your plate would look like. And you can have 3 to 4 drinks a week on this plan and still stay on track. So I think this is really doable. I can tell you I've been doing it and I'm an eater. I'm the biggest eater I know. Like I was the little girl who when other kids were getting like Happy Meals, I was getting like a double quarter pounder and large fries. I tell this story all the time, but it cracks me up. When I was a little girl, a friend's mom took me and my friend through the McDonald's drive-thru and got us Happy Meals. You guys, I'd never had a Happy Meal. My mom always bought me like adult meals. I remember getting home that day and being like, Mom, she got us this like pretend little meal. And I was like, I'm still hungry and I didn't like it. Like I didn't like it. I always wanted like what like the trucker special was like what I wanted at 6 years old. So that's food, you guys. I hope that gives you some really good ideas. The proteins, you can do things like eggs. Oh, meat. I ate a ton of meat. So yeah, eat meats if you're into eating meat. Greek yogurts. Whole grains can be things like oatmeal, quinoa, millet. Like you can definitely do a lot with that. And so now the other thing I want to talk about is working out. And I learned a lot about workouts. I'm going to give you like the 3 things that matter. So for cardio, I've been doing cardio wrong. And I kind of knew I wasn't like exactly killing it in cardio. But now I know the rules. And that's so helpful. So the rules of cardio are this. If you want to burn stored fat, and when I say stored fat, pinch your belly, that's stored fat. It means it's on your body and it's not going anywhere. You need to do 1 of 2 things. You either need to A, you need to work out hard for 40 minutes. When I say hard, I mean 80% of your capacity. You don't have enough breath to have a conversation. You can maybe get out a couple words, but like you're huffing and puffing. 40 minutes. That's going to hit what's called fat flush. And that's going to get rid of that stored fat. That's that all the fat on your body, you know, pinch your legs, pinch your arms. That's that fat that's like taking up residency. Or there is an or 90 minutes of a more medium intensity cardio. This could be a brisk walk. You could totally have a conversation. You've got enough air for that. So 40 minutes hard cardio, 90 minutes easier cardio is going to hit what's called the fat flush stage. And that's where you're going to get rid of the fat in your body. P.S. If you ever wondered where fat goes, you either pee it out or you breathe it out. It turns into water and carbon dioxide. I thought that was interesting. I don't even think I learned that at Mountain Trek. I think I learned that like listening to a podcast. But I always kind of wondered. I was like, where does fat go? And weight training. I have always known weight training was important. I didn't know how important it was until I went to Mountain Trek. And it's important for more reasons than just looking good and feeling, you know, confident and strong. Let me see if I actually, I don't know if I have notes on this. I don't think I do. Weight training. Hold on. I want to go back to cardio, guys, because I missed an important point. So what if you're like, okay, Amy, but I didn't have time this morning to do 40 minutes hard or 90 minutes, whatever, or I had dinner and then I wanted to go on a walk, but I couldn't do 40 minutes hard or 90 minutes. Totally, still do it, you guys. When you do that, when you do a lighter workout like that and you don't hit fat flash, you're still burning off the glucose from your last meal that you had, and you're stopping that from being stored as fat. So it's still cool. You're just like, you're doing that to keep your last meal from totally sticking to you. Make sense? Okay, so weight training. So you want to do that cardio maybe like 3-4 times a week if you can, that level of cardio. And again, this is the weight loss plan. Then for strength training, which you want to do 2-4 times a week, you want to do what's called MMF. That stands for momentary muscle failure. That means you literally cannot lift that weight one more time. Your muscle is done. It's failed. The reason you have to hit MMF is anything less than that, your body is going to be like, well, yeah, this is nice, but it's not going to get stronger and tighter and firmer. It's going to stay pretty status quo. So, and you should hit MMF with 8-12 reps and do only 2-3 sets. So let's just use a bicep curl as an easy example. You should lift a weight that's hard enough, strong, I mean like heavy enough, that you can only lift it, do a bicep curl between 8-12 times before you just literally, you're like, I literally can't lift it one more time. That's amazing. Do it, take 60-second break, do it again, take 60-second break, do it one more time. 2-3 times. So maybe you only do 2 sets. You want to work your upper body one day, your lower body another, and you always want to have 48 hours in between working muscle groups, because that 48 hours is when the muscle gets the little tears in it and then repairs. And when it repairs is when it gets tighter and stronger, and it needs that 48 hours to do that. So that is so important. I've been doing MMF muscle, like weight training at the gym since I got back into town. And first of all, it just feels really good to be sore on my own, because usually when I work out on my own, I'm not sore because I don't work out hard enough. And I'm already seeing some improvements. Like I was able to do a weight the other day that was a little bit heavier than what I could do 2 weeks ago. So that's super important. So again, the biggest problem is most of us aren't lifting heavy enough weights, and you're not going to get bulky. You're just going to get stronger and tighter and look good and firmer. And we're not working out hard enough for long enough for cardio. And the weight training does so many other things, you guys. Increased muscle mass helps with your metabolism. Your body naturally just burns more calories because muscles require more calories just to hang. So your body will burn more calories. I think it's like 6 more calories per day per pound of muscle. So if you replace 10 pounds of fat with 10 pounds of muscle, which is smaller, tighter, and prettier, that's 60 calories a day. And if you do the math, it's a lot of calories. Let's do the math. Hold on. I'll do this real quick. Okay, so I'm going to do the math, and I'm going to say you burn an extra 60 calories a day times, I'm only going to do 365, well, because you're burning it naturally, but you're not doing anything, so 365 days a year, that's 21,900 divided by 3,500 calories is what is a pound. That's 6.25 pounds a year that you will lose just hanging out because you have that much more muscle. Make sense? Cool. So, and then if you can do yoga like one time a week. So that's super important, you guys. So 40 minutes hard cardio, 90 minutes easier cardio. That's going to hit that fat flush, and that's going to help get rid of the fat you have. Anything less than that, still awesome. It's just going to burn the glucose from the last meal you had and help prevent it from being stored as fat. You're going to do your weight training, but you're going to lift a heavier weight that you can only lift from 8-12 times before you literally can't lift it one more time. That is when muscle happens, and you're going to do yoga once a week. A couple of other just like notes. So they took us off of caffeine Also in the weight training, I mean, there's so much to this, you guys, and I am not enough of an expert to go into it, but weight training also fights aging and dementia. Weight training fights aging and dementia. A lot of people think that dementia just happens or it doesn't, but that's not the case. And increasing your muscle mass does things for your brain that no medicine can do. So if you want to stay healthy overall and in your brain, you need to be weight training. Absolutely. So another thing is they took us off coffee there. And I was a big coffee drinker, just like one cup a day, but like a big, like a Starbucks. But I haven't had any since. However, they don't say coffee's bad for you. They just took us off of it because they were doing like a real, like a legit detox. And it can, for some people, it can increase their cortisol or things like that. One thing you might want to do, this came up and I'm doing it, is you can check your food sensitivities. It's called Everlywell, Everlywell.com. And they do a food sensitivity test. And it's like $200. And they've, if you just Google their promo code, I think they have one right now. It's like happiness and you get like 15% off. But you can check your food sensitivities on Everlywell and it'll tell you if you're sensitive to coffee. And that could just be something good to know. I haven't had coffee and I feel more energetic and better than I have. And I think what this brought up to me, because everyone I tell about coffee, they're like, oh, coffee, coffee. I'm like, trust me, I love coffee too, but I feel better without it. And so maybe just try for 3 weeks taking something out of your diet. And if you feel the same and you want it back, put it back in. But if you feel better, and maybe you don't even know if you would feel better because you've never taken it out, right? So some other things, stress. So stress actually keeps you fat. So when you're stressed out, your body produces a hormone called cortisol, and cortisol is the stress hormone. And what cortisol does is signals to your body, she's in danger. She needs fat and all these calories for protection. So don't burn the calories. We need them. So, you need to look at your stress because no matter how much you work out or how good you eat, you might still have some issues with looking the way you want to look or feeling the way you want to feel because of stress. So I would look at that and look at things like meditation, go in nature, pet an animal. The more muscle you have, your cortisol naturally lowers. And that's a double benefit to weight training. So like go lift those weights, you guys. Detoxing is important because if you don't, your fat cells will actually get bigger to protect your organs. So the actual cells will get bigger. So detoxing is important. You can do this through sauna, massage, steam. I dry brush. I have dry brushes at home. I do it at night after a shower. And you literally just, it's this brush. And you brush it on your body towards your heart from your ankles up to your heart and then from your wrists over to your heart. Feels really good. It helps your body clear out all of its pores so you can sweat and detoxify naturally. And it also helps with your lymphatic system. And sleep. So sleep is super important, obviously. I know you guys know that. If you have issues with sleep, that is like the cornerstone of all of this. Because if you're not sleeping well, I don't know about you, but when I don't sleep well, I crave the worst foods and a lot of them. I want comfort foods. I want a ton of calories, things like that. If you can sleep from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., that's like perfect world scenario. That works with your, I think it's called your circadian rhythm or something. So all 8 hours is not created equal. Sleeping from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. is not the same as sleeping from 10 a.m. to 6 a.m. So as close as you can get to that window, do it. You know yourself best. I'm not going to do an episode on sleep because I'm not a sleep expert. I'm naturally a good sleeper, thank God. But the few nights a year that I don't sleep, I am miserable the next day. And I have so much empathy and compassion for people who don't sleep well. So please understand that sleep is not just about feeling rested, but it impacts your entire body. And then finally, if you're eating out at restaurants, because I eat out all the time. In fact, the second I'm done with this podcast, I'm going to shut my computer and go meet my best friend, Michelle, for tacos. This is one of my carb meals for the week. When you're eating at restaurants, order a protein dish. double the veggies, hold the carbs, and put the sauce on the side. And that should be a very clean and easy way to stay within your plan and not be that weird person eating out. I hope you guys got a lot out of this. That was about 45 minutes of talking. I could talk for hours about this. This is just super informational. I just wanted to share everything I learned with you. Mountain Trek is one of the coolest things I've ever done. And again, I am in no way compensated or gifted for doing this podcast. They don't even know I'm doing this podcast, but, if you have the means and the time, it's changed my life, you guys. I lost 5 pounds and I made some new friends and I learned how to not hate hiking. But I understand my body now in a way I never have. And because of that, I truly, the last few weeks, I always feel good, but I don't feel this good. Like, I feel this good. I feel so good, and it's almost hard to articulate. Just my body, it's almost like, if you're like, I don't know, you know how if you're riding a bike, you can have it in different gears and one gear is really hard and then one gear you're like spinning your feet and barely moving. It's like I'm in the perfect gear and I'm just cruising along. It feels right and it feels, I don't want to say easy, but almost easy. And it's really inspiring. So my plan now that I'm in my 40s is every 2 years, I'm going to invest in myself and do either mountain trek or an equivalent, because, you know, as you get into your 40s, you do put on a few pounds a year of just with your body transitioning from more fat or more muscle to more fat, and your body isn't as efficient, your metabolism lowers. And so this is also a smart way to go every couple years and just sort of like dial that back, you know, so that couple pounds you might take on every couple years rather than 10 years later being 20 pounds heavier. If you dial it back every couple years and have this like reset, you know, hopefully you look and feel great for years. So that's it, you guys. This was a lot of information. If you have any questions, you can email me. It's amy@sipsofsunshine.com. And if you found this useful, please, please hit the share button and text it to anyone that you think might benefit from this information. I think it's pretty solid and I think it's pretty accurate. Again, though, if you have any questions about it, I'm truly would love to answer them for you. And until next time, everyone have a great day and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
You've just listened to the Sips of Sunshine podcast with your host, Amy Ogden. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play and be sure to visit sipsofsunshine.com for more inspiration. See you at the next episode.